Born and raised in Salt Lake City, Sydney Piercy calls Utah home. A summer internship with Hewlett-Packard brought her to Oregon in 1989, where she stayed to pursue her education. Sydney Piercy obtained her Bachelor's of Science in Chemical Engineering from Oregon State University before attending Oregon Health and Sciences University for her medical doctorate degree. She served her residency at Oregon Health and Sciences University, where she was chief resident. Dr. Piercy began her neurology practice at the Corvallis Clinic, then at Good Samaritan Hospital, where she became chief of neurology. In 2011, she opened her own practice, Piercy Neurology LLC. She also streamlined headache management by implementing a headache center, providing assessments and treatment for acute headaches and migraines. Piercy Neurology LLC continues to operate in Corvallis. Some of Dr. Piercy's clinical interests include movement disorders like Parkinson's disease. She has extensive experience helping patients manage multiple sclerosis symptoms. Neurocognitive memory testing, traumatic brain injury, and neuralgia treatment are other areas of her expertise. Dr. Piercy is an expert in headache treatment. She uses a variety of methods such as toxin injections, such as Botox, to relieve migraines, rebound headaches, tension headaches, and more. In her free time, Dr. Piercy loves spending time with her three children and fishing. This is The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversations, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw. With the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. Once again, this is Parker from the marketing team, and I'm joined by a couple other people. Let's start with you, Sid.
Sid from the marketing team as well.
Perfect. And we have a special guest on the podcast today, which is Dr. Piercy. And Dr. Piercy, I'm going to let you introduce yourself a little bit to our audience, if that's okay.
Oh, great. I'm Dr. Sydney Piercy. I'm happy to be a neurologist here at Ogden Clinic. I joined about 3 years ago, born and raised in Utah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Nice. And so, Dr. Piercy, we want to get to know you a little bit, so we thought we'd do some get to know you questions. What are some of your hobbies outside of work?
Work. No, I like a lot of Utahns, I love to hike. We have beautiful mountains. People always ask me, what are my hobbies? I'm one of those people that everything tends to be a hobby, and then I move on to the next hobbies. And then I have like a room full of all my half like done hobbies. And I know that 99% of the world is better than me, that they keep a hobby. But like, I've been cleaning my house, and I just have all these, like, my jewelry making hobby phase, and
yes,
and my art, my watercolor and my oil painting hobby phase. And so it's
dabble in everything. That's
yeah,
good.
And then move on.
Well, you get bored, move on. Maybe that's busy mind.
I don't know. Whatever.
Perfect.
That's what I do.
Okay. And what would you say is your go-to Friday night activity if you have the night off?
Again, I like to do just everything. And I like music a lot. I have a secret passion for the opera. There's
wow
in Ogden, February 8th. Can I give a plug? I don't know.
Yeah, give a plug.
I don't know. So there's an opera in Ogden, so I'll be there.
Oh,
so
what? Where's it? Where's the venue?
I think it's the Egyptian Theater. I'll have to look it up. I have it.
What's the show?
Marked. No, I don't know. I just marked on my calendar, but I know that Ogden Regional Medical Center has some sponsorship into
Very
it, and that's
cool.
Why I got the email, and I was so excited because I thought, oh, that'll be so fun.
That's
and
awesome.
That is on a Friday night, so that's awesome. One of my Friday night things.
Can you sing opera?
Only in the shower.
That's great.
When no one's around before.
Very cool.
So I have a question for you, Dr. Piercy. Mm-hmm. If you were not a neurologist, what would your profession be?
Well, so we'll have honesty day. I will absolutely tell you what my profession would be. My parents owned a real estate company. They grew me to do real estate. And so my family does real estate. And so it's in the blood.
Okay.
And if I didn't do, in fact, sometimes I feel like real estate will support my neurology habit someday. So I don't know.
That's whatever. Cool. They're very different sides of the spectrum of careers for sure.
But yeah, my parents worked hard and they kind of had a family business and it was great.
Cool. That's really cool. Well, Sid was telling mm-hmm. me about you the other day and she said that you kind of have a past in biochemistry. Is that something that you could talk about a little bit to our audience?
Sure. I was a student at University of Utah. My undergraduate focus was biochemical engineering. And funny thing, I got a job at Hewlett-Packard between my junior and senior year, and in Corvallis, Oregon, as a chemical engineer intern, and I stayed. A lot of stories, like I was young, I met this guy, and I stayed. And so I ended up with my degree from Oregon State University. They didn't have a biochemical engineering degree, so I had to drop the bio. I ended up with a chemical engineering degree.
Right on.
But yeah, that is my, but I, you know, I think every part of us forms us later, right?
Right.
Is that what we all say?
Yeah.
And I think it's absolutely true. And so I think it really, you know, sometimes we think we don't use parts of our lives, but I think it all kind of forms who we are today.
How did you get to neurology from biochemical engineering?
Yeah. Well, I always wanted to be a doctor. There is no doubt about that. I mean, I don't remember not wanting to be a doctor. My parents tell me that I didn't ever want to be anything else, despite the fact they kind of want to steer me to real estate. But
real estate doctor.
That's right. But anyway, I remember, so orientation for college, you know, they're taking you around. And I realized that if for some reason, you know, I'm young, I'm just out of high school. And I realized that if I can't be a doctor for whatever reason, that engineering, they gave this thing on careers as part of orientation. I thought, oh, that looks like a career that I could just be done with college and I'll actually have a really good job,
because
the bar graphs they were showing, engineering seemed like
I had
never even really heard of engineering, actually. I was pretty clueless. And at the end of the day, at the end of the orientation day, they gave you this little card. Everything was on cards then. And they said, okay, most people don't know what they want to major in. If you do, just mark it down. And I wrote biochemical engineering. And it was a piece of cake after that, because after that, I got this letter every quarter from the University of Utah, and they just sent me my classes. They told me what I had to take.
I was like, I don't have to research it. It's just like the path is laid for you.
It was great. And it was a great major. I mean, it was fun. It was a great,
time.
And yeah, no regrets. So
and do you feel like it kind of plays into your career now?
I do. It absolutely does. Neurology is really systems based and it's very analytical. I think that if I had to generalize, I would say that neurologists are the engineers of medicine in a sense. And so
that's really neat.
I think that, you know, why did I pick neurology? I think it picked me. You know, I think it's just kind of a natural thing.
Makes sense.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, that kind of does lead us into our topic for this episode. So Dr. Piercy works in neurology, and something very frequent that we've received with input from our social media, because sometimes we'll ask our listeners and our audience what they would like to learn more about. A lot of people have said migraines, and they're super common, and there's a lot of questions that people had about those. So we thought we would talk about migraines today with Dr. Piercy, and we'll just kind of dive in from there. So I think I'm kind of not super familiar with migraines. I've been lucky enough to not have had one, but I know a lot of people around me that have. How would you say, Dr. Piercy, that you differentiate between like a migraine and a headache?
Good question. So let's start off by the super common comment that you made, which is, you know, let's acknowledge that. Migraines are the second most disabling pain disorder in America.
Wow.
And so they are not only super common, but super important for people who get migraines.
Yeah.
And migraine is distinguished from, you know, quote unquote headaches. Migraine is a type of headache, and then there are other types of headaches, like primary headaches, secondary headaches from, you know, tumors, et cetera. But I think when you say headaches, you're probably thinking tension headaches.
Right.
I'm assuming. Okay. And so the biggest distinction, how your listeners can distinguish whether they may have migraines or not, is a tension headache will be pain all over. You can almost touch your tension headache.
Mm.
And a tension headache will not get worse with activity. So if your headache gets worse when you're, you know, kind of briskly going upstairs, And if your headache gets worse, it is most likely a migraine. If you have nausea, vomiting, if you are sensitive to lights and noise, then it is most likely a migraine. And there are a spectrum of pain levels with migraine. I think a common thought is a migraine has to be really terrible pain. We call it a migraine not because of the level of pain, but because of the company the symptoms keep.
Interesting.
Anyway. I'm here because I, too, am a patient of Dr. Piercy's. I've been suffering migraines for over 30 years. I have vision loss, and I can normally catch it before the migraine, but it's debilitating. It stops me in my tracks.
Yeah. And we had a conversation before we started recording today that, you know, sometimes it's not even the migraine pain that is the most debilitating part of a migraine headache episode. It often will start with vision loss, and then it grows to this tension type pain, mm-hmm. which a lot of people with migraine will have both tension type headache and migraine, so they'll right. have a dual diagnosis, and then their tension headache will grow into that migraine pain. They'll have the migraine with the lights and noise bothering them,
nausea.
And then what happens is the pain might go away if they're lucky. But then they're left with, you know, a couple of days of, you know, feeling like they've been hit by a bus or the migraine hangover.
I call it the hangover.
Yeah, and that's a common thing that people call it.
Which can be worse than the migraine itself.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And that's so common for people. Absolutely. It's really interferes with activities, social activities.
Yeah.
And for years I lived with that until I saw you and you pieced it together and... Mm-hmm. It's been amazing.
Little by little.
Thank you.
Always
it's taken
together.
A long time, though, to get there.
Right. But it is good to know that there are some like ways for treatments and things like that. But mm-hmm. kind of jumping in before that, what are common causes or triggers to migraines? Is it something genetic or is it something that we're just,
food,
I don't know,
diet,
stress
exercise?
Or something? What brings on migraines and what causes patients to usually get them?
Migraine typically is a genetic disorder. So... Sid brought up a point that she's had migraines for 30 years. Migraines are probably in her genes, and it manifested 30 years ago. Car sickness in children typically is a migrainous phenomenon.
Me.
And so that was a manifestation of her migraines in childhood.
Okay.
But it manifested a different way. And so in childhood, it was car sickness, and then it evolves during time and during different stages in life. And so so people have that migraine gene, and some people will have different forms of migraine. The biggest triggers of migraine are stress and lack of sleep. Stress and lack of sleep never cause a migraine. If someone doesn't have the migraine gene, stress and lack of sleep won't cause their migraines. It triggers it. I always say stress and lack of sleep brings out our weak link.
Oh, right.
If you have, you know, if you tend to kind of get stomach issues, it'll bring out your stomach issues. If you get neck pain, it'll bring out your neck pain.
Right.
Stress and lack of sleep are the biggest triggers of migraine, but they never cause it. And so, but we got to, I think we're in control about 20% of migraines, so it's still important to control those variables. Dehydration, absolutely. Like people, air, food, and water. Mm-hmm. You know, the air we breathe.
Those basic needs.
The food we eat or the junk food we're eating and the water we're drinking or not drinking or the soda or the caffeine, you know, those sorts of things, what we're putting into our body. Huge, huge triggers.
Do you see a correlation with the inversion at all?
Absolutely. Utahns, we think are smoking a pack a day, every Utah. Me, I've never touched a cigarette, not even one, in my whole life. But I woke up to the reality that I am actually smoking a pack per day, every day.
With the inversion,
because of the inversion. Mm. And so if you smoke on top of that, it adds wood to the fire. Mm. But, managing our inversion as a public health issue is of a top priority in my world.
Right. Wow, I didn't know all of those. That's crazy. Well, as we kind of emailed back and forth, you mentioned that this was a really good topic because there's been so many different ways that you can treat migraines.
Yeah.
And maybe we could dive into that a little bit. Do you want to talk about some treatment options for people that do have migraines?
Yeah, this is an exciting time for migraine. When I finished residency, now 20 years ago, the first migraine-specific medication was really coming on the market, and that was Imitrex. And I'm told all the time by my patients how Imitrex changed their life, how, they were able to now function in social activities and those sorts of things. That works on a very specific migraine center in the brain. And that is what we call rescue treatment. Rescue treatment is appropriate for patients with migraines who get migraines, you know, 1 to 2 times a week or less. Other treatments that we need to focus on in patients who are getting either migraines more than 2 times a week on a regular basis, or migraines that are severe enough that they are interfering with activities, or patients with what we call complex migraines, patients who have, you know, numbness on one side of their body, or, you know, they're barfing so much that when they get a migraine, it just, you know, stops their world. Right. We have to focus on preventative agents. We'll focus on the right medication for them that they take on a daily basis. Now, there's a whole host of medications that we can use, and what we do is, just like we talked at the beginning of the podcast, that migraine comes with a whole host of associated symptoms. We try to target the preventative agent to surround the type of associated symptoms patients are having. For example, if they're having a lot of nerve pain with their headaches, like neck, back of the head nerve pain, mm-hmm. will tend to use more of the seizure category medications.
Okay.
If they're having a lot of throbbing pain, maybe some of the more blood pressure related medications, or if their blood pressure is high, for sure, you know, some of the blood pressure medications. There's a new class of medications that came out about a year ago that we're really super excited to be using. They've made a change in migraines. They brought them down significantly, especially for refractory patients. They're called CGRP receptor antibodies.
Uh-huh.
And they actually block the migraine center in the brain.
Wow.
Right. And
that is exciting.
So they'll block in the center. And then for the really refractory patients, we'll use Botox because they actually block the outside of the head. So we can block the inside now with CGRP receptor antibodies and the outside with Botox. So we have our toolbox.
Yeah.
We're ready for migraine.
I'd like to point out that for years I took over-the-counter medications, and the side effect of that was horrible ulcers in my stomach and esophagus. Thank goodness I found you, got off of that. It may work for some, but it did not work for me. I was eating like Pez candies.
Yeah. Yeah, and on that, that's called a medication overuse headache. I understand why patients do that. They've got to get through the next 4 hours, or mm-hmm. or they got to get through their work day, and they have busy lives and busy families, but it contributes to tomorrow's headaches. Mm-hmm. It contributes. I'll have patients say, I don't want to take a daily medicine. They're already taking a daily medicine. And just because it's over the counter doesn't mean it is safe. You know, I'll have, you know, a 35-year-old who has their kidneys are not functioning as well as they should be. They're functioning like a 50% because of the daily use.
Wow. Yeah that's
so
scary.
Yeah, there's so many really good treatment options, like you said, Sid.
So everybody's different. They just need to be diagnosed and figure out which works best for them. Might take a couple different tries.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Right. Yeah, migraines are tough, but we're tougher, right?
There's help out there.
Right? That's good. So when would you say would be the point that someone should consider seeing a neurologist?
I say start with your primary care physician. I think it's my experience. I get the referrals from primary care. And primary care, I think, you know, as education and our knowledge base and our treatment strategies become more commonplace, primary care is really good about treating and just making my job harder, which I love. And a lot of times they can treat most patients' migraines.
Right.
And then what happens is when I get a patient, usually they've tried 2 or 3 preventative agents with their primary care physician. And they've had very good treatment trials. It's just not working for their headaches. So we have to up the ante, you know, with something, you know, like for example, Botox or maybe one or two agents simultaneously, really, you know, say, okay, the keeping calendars, we got to, you know, bring in the troops at that point. So
cool. So that's really good advice. Mm-hmm. Okay. As I was doing some research on for this, like preparing for this, and we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, there is sort of a negative stigma that does surround migraines. And I was kind of surprised, but it did make sense because I feel like migraines are hard because, like, besides like the behaviors of the person, there's not like evidence that they're struggling with something. And sometimes, like online, it said that sometimes they're perceived as just like a laziness thing, or just like not wanting to do the work. And I thought that was really surprising. What do you think that we can do to end the negative stigma that surrounds migraines?
I feel that I've felt that people have looked at me as if I were weak, and mm-hmm. trust me, I'm not weak. Persevered through a lot of pain.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you sent me that in an email, and I was surprised because, and a little annoyed, admittedly, because I think it is hard enough to have a medical condition and then to blanket on judgment.
Right.
You know, this is not people's court, everybody. People have medical issues, and I think the challenge comes from 12% of the population has migraines, and, you know, 30% of those will have refractory migraines, and a percentage of those will have really problematic refractory migraines, right? And so what's happening is 30 to 70% of the population has, for example, tension headaches. And so they can sip mint green tea or rub their temples and walk up and down stairs, and their headaches will go away. So comparing that, which still is important, to a migraine is comparing apples and oranges. And so the challenge when I read that is like, okay, fine, don't compare and don't judge. I mean, like, I pulled up a few articles and I was realizing they were ranking stigmas for migraine and epilepsy and diabetes. And I thought, what haters out there?
Haters gonna hate.
I know.
The trolls.
And so, you know, and then it dawned on me too, what patients will commonly tell me after their migraines are controlled is, you know, it's vindication. Like, now their families believe them or coworkers believe them. And now they look so much better. You can see migraines.
Yeah.
You just have to look and not judge. And so if there's any message out there, stop being judgy, be supportive.
Yeah.
You're not the judge of the world.
Yeah.
End of story.
I like that.
How's that?
That was powerful. Power punching.
Well, gosh.
Stick it to the man.
Give me a break. And know what? Someday you may be in that position.
Yeah.
So if you're judging, someday you may be in my office wanting some sympathy. And I'll give it to you because I'm not a judgy person. So.
There you go. Well, to kind of wrap things up, I also wanted to ask, so what advice would you give someone that might be dealing with migraines? Like, what would you say to somebody that might be suffering through them?
Yeah. Sid made an important point that she had been suffering for 30 years, and she is tough, and a lot of migraine patients are tough, and they wait too long to give themselves permission to seek treatment. And most migraine patients that I see will have had to compromise on a family activity. They will have had to, you know, they get through the workday, but they go home and they just collapse practically and those sorts of things. And so my advice is to give yourself permission to treat this. It's and give yourself permission to feel better.
Don't give up on the medications. Keep trying, because right one is out there.
Yes.
It just takes the right doctor to find your truth, or how to deal with it. Because I've tried almost every medication there is.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. So
keep trying. Perfect. Perfect. Well, we'd like to thank Dr. Piercy for being on today's episode. And thanks for our listeners for contributing some of those questions that actually came from our audience. Before we recorded, we got some questions from social media, and we're really glad that we were able to answer those today. So for our audience that's been with us today, thank you for tuning in and listening to
The Daily Diagnosis.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcasts app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.